I've titled this sermon today, Responding to the Birth of Christ. And Tim read out of Luke, but today we're going to bounce around a lot, which if you've never heard me preach before, that's kind of uncharacteristic. We're going to be in Matthew and Luke. We've got various texts if you have the sermon notes there with you. But I have always, ever since I can remember, loved the thought of Christmas. I like the worship services. I like the presentations at church. I loved Wednesday night when the kids did their thing. I liked that. I've always liked it. I liked being part of it when I was a kid. I love family gatherings. It's just hard to beat. It's just everybody is typically filled with joy. There's food. Everybody's kind of happy around Christmas. The kids are excited. I love that. One of the things that I don't know if they do this anymore, I don't go over there, but one of my favorite childhood memories around Christmas was to drive to the Galleria. Because it was kind of newer then. We're talking about in the 80s, but I can remember my mom and dad driving me over there, and it was just so decorated, and it was so beautiful. And then there was the Cindy Cinnamon Rolls that just filled the whole gallery. It's just a beautiful time there around Christmas. And then, obviously, Christmas morning. As a kid, I was trying to get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, and I was excited. You know, I loved Christmas morning. There's just so many good things about it. And I thought that I loved Christmas until we had Virginia. I don't hold a candle to loving Christmas like Virginia. Do you know when I heard the very first Christmas song in 2024? September. September, I was in the living room one day, and out of her room, which is upstairs, blast out the very first Christmas song. And I said, Virginia, I said, it's September, baby. I said, it's a little bit early, but I mean, how do you say it? She's so excited. She loves that part about it. And, I couldn't get on to her for that. But unfortunately, I think we all will agree, not positive emotions around Christmas are shared by everybody. Not everyone loves Christmas the way that I just described. I had a conversation recently, and then as part of the conversation, it was shared to me this family had fell upon some hard times, and what was shared is the daughter was very concerned about Christmas. She knew that the family had come into a hard time. She knew that that would probably make an impact on what their Christmas looked like this year. And that's just one example. And I'm sure in our community there are many of those. But her emotions about the joy and that were kind of overcome by thinking about what Christmas was going to look like for them this year. So it's not shared by everybody. But how are you currently responding to Christmas this year? When you came in today, when you got up this morning, how are you responding emotionally to it? Are you excited? Are you looking forward to it? Do you have a worshipful heart? Or are you concerned and kind of distracted? As believers and worshipers today, I think we need to consider this. What is an appropriate emotional response about God's gift of Jesus Christ that brings Him glory? As believers, how should we be responding to, as we reflect back upon God's gift to us, His Son, Jesus Christ? A little bit of fun here. Many movies exist about Christmas. I mean, there's over the years. Well, one response I thought of that I think y'all will remember is Ebenezer Scrooge. How did he respond to Christmas? What was his famous saying? Bah, humbug. Is that the appropriate response to Christmas? I venture to say that we'll all agree that's not it. What about Ellen Griswold? She said, I don't know what to say except it's Christmas and we're all in misery. Not the appropriate response to Christmas. And then lastly, and I haven't watched this in a long time, probably since I was a kid, but do you remember Charlie Brown? A Charlie Brown Christmas. He said, I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. And if we're expecting the secular, the worldly, the materialistic part of Christmas to give us the joy that God intends and that God deserves, we will always fall short. There will always be something in this world to take away the joy that Christmas really should have for every single believer today, which is God's gift of Jesus Christ. But today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to look at 10 human responses to Christmas. I know the angels are there and the angels responded as well, but I left them out. But today we're going to look at the 10 biblical human responses to Christmas, which is God's gift of Jesus Christ, the birth of God in the flesh, Jesus. And so without further ado, let's begin looking at that. The first one is Zacharias. And Zacharias was doubtful. Doubtful. We see this in Luke 1, 5 through 25. But Zacharias is the husband to Elizabeth and the father of a famous man that you will know, John the Baptist. So that's who Zacharias is. He's a Jewish priest, and he was performing service in the temple during this time that we're going to talk about. An angel appeared to him. And in Luke 1, 17, we see it says, "It is he, John the Baptist, who will go as a forerunner before him," who is Jesus, "in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So how did Zacharias respond to the news of Christmas? How did Zacharias respond to the coming of Jesus Christ? In doubt. Luke 1:18 tells us that Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years," and rightfully so. I mean, this was a miraculous situation between him and his wife anyway, with John the Baptist, because they were so old. But we see that doubt was not celebrated by God, because he was actually punished. His speech was taken from him, and he didn't get it back until after John the Baptist was born. So doubt was not an appropriate response to the angel nor God. Today, many still doubt the birth of Jesus Christ. And if they don't doubt the birth, many doubt that it was really God in the flesh who is Jesus Christ. But as believers, we must never fall into the trap of doubt. Doubt is not the emotional response that God deserves when we reflect upon his gift of Jesus Christ. We must, as Zacharias learned, we must remember, and as the angel said, that God can do anything. God has all the power and is capable of doing anything. So anytime we may have that doubt, we've got to reflect back upon the power of God himself. Let's look at the second response. Mary was obedient. We see this in Luke 1, 26 through 38. So Mary obviously is the mother of Jesus, and she was engaged to Joseph, yet the Bible tells us that she was still a virgin. Gabriel, the angel, visited her and informed her about Jesus. Luke 1, 31 through 32 says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." So how did Mary respond to the news of Christmas? Well, she essentially kind of had two little responses. At first, she questioned. She questioned the angel. She said, "Well, how could this be?" And rightfully so. But her ultimate response was obedience to what the angel had told her. Mary asked for God's will to be done in her life. So though we may not always understand God's will, if we truly believe, our appropriate response is always just obedience. God didn't say you had to understand it, but God did say that you had to obey him and follow him. And we see that Mary did that. Our third response that we have is from John the Baptist. John the Baptist was excited. Luke 1:41. So he was, John the Baptist, as we learn in that text, he's just a baby in his mother's womb, and he is still inside of Elizabeth, growing as a growing fetus, if you say that. But how did he respond to the news of Christmas? Well, it was pure excitement that manifested, that showed itself in a physical form. Luke 1:41 says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, because Mary came and visited Elizabeth, the baby, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth herself was filled with the Holy Spirit. So the arrival of Jesus caused John to literally leap inside of his mother's body. And now, although we're Baptist, and we're in a Baptist church, I venture to say that we can still get excited about the gift of Jesus Christ. We should be excited when we realize that Jesus is truly a gift. But what does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus is a gift? We couldn't have a relationship with God in no other way. That's why we should be excited. When we think about that and reflect upon that year after year, day after day, we should be moved, physically excited, thinking about that we're not kept in our sin. We're not determined to hell. We can have eternal life and seize the gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ. And that we should be excited, even if we're Baptists. Hey, we may have to move around a little bit and get excited about that good news. Our fourth response is that Elizabeth was humbled. Elizabeth was the wife of Zacharias, who we talked about in the first truth, and she's the mother of John the Baptist. It said, the Bible tells us that Mary traveled to Elizabeth after the angel had visited her and told her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. The first thing we see is rejoicing in Luke 1:42, and she cried out, this is Elizabeth, with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But even though she rejoiced, which is good, she was humble. And we see her humility in Luke 1:43. It says, and how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? She was humbled by the fact that Mary would even come and visit her with Jesus in her womb. She responded with humility. Let's look at the next one, the fifth one. Joseph was changed. He was a changed man. He was engaged to Mary, yet they had never had an intimate relationship. He realized that Mary was pregnant apart from this fact. And he did plan to break off the engagement. The Bible tells us that. But God sent an angel to change Joseph's mind. Look at Matthew 1:20 with me. It says, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. How did Joseph respond to the news? He was changed. Matthew 1:24 and 25 shows us this change. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The message of Christmas is a life-changing message if you believe it. The gospel changed your life. It changed Joseph's life, totally redirected every plan that he had made. May we all desire to live the changed life available through Jesus Christ. Our sixth response is, we go out into the field, we go out in the hill country a little bit. It's shepherds were praising. Shepherds out in the fields were visited by the angels. An angel announced the arrival of Christmas, the arrival of God's gift to man. Then the host of the angels modeled the appropriate response to God's gift. It said that they praised. But how did the shepherds, that's who we're talking about, that's who we're focused on, how did the shepherds respond to this message, this visit from the angels and this news of Jesus Christ? Well, first they responded immediately to the message. Luke 2:15 and 16, it says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, hey, Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry. They came in a hurry. They were excited. And found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And not only did they respond immediately, but they responded by glorifying and praising God. Luke 2:20 tells us that. It says, the shepherds went back after they had visited and they had seen Jesus, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. The message of Christmas can elicit this kind of response. The message of Christmas today should elicit the same response. We should want to praise God. We should want to glorify God when we once again revisit this and understand it again. But do we, is the question. Did you come this morning knowing, desiring, wanting to praise and glorify God because of what he has done? I hope this morning it's not a checking of the box. I hope this morning in your heart on the way here, you realize what we were going to be celebrating. We're celebrating God's gift this morning, and what you wanted to do in response to that was to praise him, to glorify him, just like these lowly shepherds. You know, they were considered to be some of the lowest of society, the shepherds. These were the sinners. These were the people that, in the same category as the youth and I talked about this morning, they were in that category of kind of hopeless, some of them. Do y'all realize this is who God sent the message to? The greatest message, the life-changing message of God's plan, recipients to these old boys out there tending sheep. And how did they respond? I heard that. No, I got to go and see. God has shown around me. I want to go see what God has done, just like we have sang about. And a quick application this morning. If God chose to give the greatest message that has ever been told to some lowly shepherds out in the field that many people probably had just thought, they're hopeless. They never come to church. They're always out there. They stink. They're doing the least things. We should never consider anybody not worthy, not in a position, not able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should be willing to share the good news of Jesus Christ with anybody. And we can always go back to this. If you ever wonder if God can save anybody, just turn around and look at yourself. If he can save me, he can save anybody. And I'm thankful for that little truth. But the shepherds, the lowest, the lowly, the sinners, responded with praise. The seventh response we'll see is from Simeon. And Simeon was fulfilled. Simeon was an old Jewish man who was considered, he was termed as righteous and devout. Through the Holy Spirit, God, before this time, before Jesus, had told him that he would see the Messiah, that he would see the Christ before he died. How did Simeon respond to the arrival of Christ? First, he blessed God. Look at Luke 2, 27 through 32. It says, and he, Simeon, came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms. So Simeon took Jesus into his arms and he blessed God. And he said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, to die in peace. I'm an old man. Now I can die in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon was excited. Simeon was praising God because that had been fulfilled. But not only did he have a personal response, positive response to Jesus on this day that he was brought into the temple, but he also blessed Joseph and Mary, and he prophesied. Luke 2 34 and 35 tells us that, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, the child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" And I think of that day, I believe, and this is just me personally, but that word that Simeon gave her, "and a sword will pierce even your own soul," I think about the cross and when she was looking upon her son on that cross, and I wonder if these words of Simeon that were told to her 30-something years prior came back to her heart when she looked upon him. But the arrival of Christmas fulfilled the heart of Simeon. Are we fulfilled as we celebrate Christ this morning? Does it fulfill us? Is it enough? Is the gift of God enough for us today? Though we may not have every worldly desire of our heart, we may not get every Christmas present that's on our list, we can be fulfilled this Christmas by one simple thing: reflecting back one more time upon God fulfilling his promise and giving us the gift of Jesus Christ, who we can believe in and have eternal life. Our eighth response is Anna was thankful. Anna was an aged prophetess who served night and day in the temple of God. Anna was at the temple, not surprisingly, when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus. How did Anna respond to the arrival of Jesus? She was thankful. Luke 2:38a, the first part of the verse says, "At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God, praising God, worshiping God at the arrival of Jesus Christ." But she was also evangelistic, which means to share. Luke, the second part of verse 38 says, "And continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption in Jerusalem." She continued to speak. So the arrival of Jesus did generate thankfulness in the heart of Anna. She was thankful. You could see it. But the manifestation, what that thankfulness, it led to action. And what was the action of her thankfulness? She was sharing it. It says she continually went around and shared the message, the gift of Jesus Christ, with other people so that they could hear it. We should too. If we consider Jesus to truly be the gift of God, we should be sharing that gift with other people so that they can hear it. It should move us. Our thankfulness should be moved to sharing, just like Anna did in the Bible, just like the example. But are we sharing it like that? I hope we are. I hope that this week our thankfulness leads us to share it with at least one other person. The ninth response we're going to look at is from the Magi. The Magi were rejoicing. So God hung a star, and I read this for the first time and never even thought about it. But everybody knows the star, right? That the Magi were led to Jesus by a star. Have you ever thought about that was God's glory? I've never thought about that, but as I was reading through and studying this sermon, I thought about, well, was that God's Shekinah glory in the sky that led them, that was that leading of these Magi to Jesus? The Magi are wise men or astrologers. If you've ever wondered what that is, what is a Magi? And they were from the east, and where would that be? Possibly Persia, Babylonia, or Arabia. That's where these Magi could have been from. And the star, as we know, led them to Jerusalem, Herod, and ultimately Bethlehem. So how did they respond? How did these Magi respond to the arrival of Jesus Christ? Matthew 2, 10 and 11, it says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Discovering the arrived Jesus generated joy and worship in the hearts of these magi, these wise men. So can we say that a wise man, one of the characteristics of a wise man or a wise woman, is the joy and the rejoicing that comes from our heart when we hear the Christmas story? Are we exhibiting our wisdom by rejoicing and worshiping Jesus this Christmas season? Are you worshiping Him? May we all rejoice in our hearts, minds, and bodies as we corporately worship the gift of Jesus today here at Blount Springs Baptist Church. Our last response, we're going to come full circle with this one. Herod was troubled. Herod was troubled. So who was Herod? He was a prominent Gentile king over the land of Israel during the time of Jesus' birth. And the Magi, the ones we were just talking about, the wise men, actually reported the birth of Jesus, the Christ, to Herod. They reported to him. That's where they went. They went to Jerusalem first, looking for Jesus. And it says that he was troubled. Matthew 2:3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. But then, if you don't miss this, it's not that just Herod was troubled. It says there at the end of that, and all Jerusalem with him. So this news, this little report that the Magi brought, troubled them. And we learned that, just like we learned that the Thanksgiving was a manifestation, vengeance was the manifestation that proved that Herod was troubled by the news of Jesus Christ. Matthew 2:16 tells us, then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, because because Herod said, yeah, go find him. Go find this king and then come back and tell me about it, because I want to go and worship him too. But then the Magi were led by God to not do that, to go another way. And that, so Herod realized that he was tricked, because the Magi never came back. And Herod became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Hearing about the arrival of King Jesus generated trouble and vengeance in the heart. That was his response, trouble. I hope nobody in here today is, but I have to ask the question, are you troubled by the news of Jesus Christ this morning? When you think about God's gift, does it cause trouble to be in your heart? Are you worried about that? I pray that none of us are troubled. We may have all kinds of responses. If I called you up one by one and said, how are you responding to Christmas this morning? How are you? It would vary. It would be all over the board. But I pray that this type of response is not what you have, that you're not troubled when you think of Jesus Christ and God's gift. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. I think it's safe to say that many different responses occurred to the news and actual birth of Jesus Christ. Whose response most accurately reflects your response this morning? Are you doubting like Zacharias? Are you not sure? This news that I've heard, man, it's out there. This is crazy. Are you jumping like John? Are you leaping? Can I leap? Is that okay? Is that you this morning? Are you moved to physical excitement as you think about being able to have the gift that God has given? Are you rejoicing like the Magi? You've taken a long trip, and everybody knows what it's like after a long trip. You're tired. You're ready to go to sleep. You're ready to pile up, get you something to eat. We'll do that tomorrow. The Magi said, no, we arrived. We're rejoicing. We're worshiping God. It's been a long trip, but we're still motivated. We're so excited to see what God has done. Are you there? Are you like the Magi? Are you a wise man? Or are you troubled like Herod? I pray you're not troubled. But I think that as believers, we should be filled with joy, thanksgiving, and praise as we celebrate the arrival of our great King Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. glory to God in the highest. Those were the responses in the Bible that we see to Jesus. If you are currently troubled like Herod, Jesus can turn your trouble into triumph. You can go from trouble to triumph this morning. How do you do it? Through belief and confession in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You can go from being concerned about the great King, the great plan of God, to being part of the triumph, the success, the hope, the peace, the joy, the amen, the hallelujah, the glory to God this morning through belief and confession in Jesus Christ. And that's all in a prayer between you and Him, confessing that you're a sinner to God through prayer, telling Him and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confessing Him as your King. That's the appropriate response at Christmas.